Amen. Thank you, Brother Larry. And again, we do thank each one of you who not only work on the Scriptures, we thank each one of you who contribute the funds towards that. I'm not sure exactly how many years. Larry, do you remember when we actually started the seed line?
Back in 1993.
And so we've been doing that for a long time and reached over 1 million copies that we put together and sent out. And it'll be just amazing to see someday what God has done through them. And we appreciate those of you who have contributed to help pay for that. When we first started, we used to each month we'd have to raise the money and try to come up with enough money to buy the next roll of paper and to put those together. And then we had a banquet that Bearing Precious Seed actually came over and did a banquet to express their appreciation to our church and our people for being involved in it. And we got to talking a little bit, and I think it was Brother Stallings told us about a church where they actually did some kind of an auction and auctioned off the boxes. And so I kind of came up with the idea from that of figuring out what it cost per box and then taking volunteers to help. And that's been such a blessing because we haven't had to raise money for it each month. We just take a few minutes and people have gotten on board, and you've been a part of that, and it's been a great blessing. We appreciate your faithfulness and giving to help in that way. Well, take your Bibles tonight and turn with me again to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll start out with verse number 10, and then we'll go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 where we were at this morning. We're talking about the judgment seat of Christ. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10, we'll give you a moment to find your place there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, verse that we're familiar with. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. If you have a hard time finding that, it comes right after 1 Corinthians, okay? 1 Corinthians, then 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5, verse number 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and verse number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Begin reading with me there in verse number 11. And if you have a hard time finding that, that comes right before 2 Corinthians, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And let's pray. Lord, would you bless again tonight the few moments that we have together? Give us discernment and wisdom and understanding of your word and of these principles. May we build them into our lives, and may they make a difference in our service for the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to never forget that we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for our life. And so I pray you'll help us to prepare for that, and to be ready and to be our best. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There's some notes on the back of your bulletin. We started on them this morning. If you want to finish them tonight, or as far as we get tonight, we're talking about the judgment seat of Christ. We said the judgment seat of Christ is for what kind of people? Saved people. We took a few minutes. We won't take time tonight to go back to Revelation chapter 20. And there's another judgment there that's called what? Great white throne judgment, and that is for what kind of people? Lost people, unsaved people at the great white throne judgment. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're looking at the judgment seat of Christ for saved people. And we talked about the fact this morning that this judgment has to do with good and bad things. We read that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 10, it says, we'll be judged according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And we establish the fact that we know whether it's good or bad through the Word of God. And God has given us His Word so that we can understand and so that we can know what He wants us to do and how He wants us to live. And the Bible tells us in verse 13, every man's work shall be manifest, shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by what? By fire. Fire represents three things in the Bible. Do you remember what they are? Judgment of God, presence of God, and the Word of God. All right? And we found that when our works are revealed by fire, it is the Word of God, the fire of the Word of God that is going to judge our works. And we spent some time talking about that. And then he tells us again in verse number 12, if any man build upon this foundation. Verse 11 says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The basis, the foundation of all of those who are at the great white or at the judgment seat of Christ is the Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about the preaching of the cross. We talked about inviting Christ into our heart and life, being born again, laying the foundation of Jesus Christ. And then we build on that foundation. And the first thing he talks about is gold. We spent some time talking about gold this morning. Gold in the Bible represents what? Purity. It represents purity. And God wants our life to be pure and to be clean. And when we fail, we can confess our sins and can be cleansed and made pure in the sight of the Lord. We said also that this matter of gold has to do with contending for the faith. And the faith is what we believe based on the Word of God. And we contend for the faith. We want to keep the Word of God. We don't have to keep it, but we stand for it. We contend, we fight for it to keep it pure and to prevent the onslaught of the world who wants to pervert the Bible and pervert the Word of God. Now, tonight, I want us to pick up with the second item that the Lord talks about. He says, if any man build upon this foundation gold, the second one is what? Silver. It is silver. And he speaks of silver a number of places in the Bible. I want you to go with me to Psalms chapter 68 to start with tonight. And we'll look at a number of verses again. If you have trouble keeping up with me, that's okay. You can jot them down somewhere and look them up later, or you can just stop and listen. But in Psalm 68, verse number 30, Psalms chapter 68, look at verse number 30 with me. You see, if God says, He says we're going to be, our works are going to be judged whether they're good or bad. And if at the judgment seat of Christ, it is the Word of God that judges us, that determines the good or the bad. And we have in our hands a copy of the Word of God, amen. So then we can know what God expects through His Word, can't we? He's given us some specific instructions in His Word. In Psalm chapter 68, verse number 30, the Bible says this, rebuke the company of spearmen, the multitude of the bulls with the calves of the people, till everyone, what's the next two words? Submit himself with what? Pieces of silver. Scatter thou the people that delight in war. Silver in the Bible represents a number of things. I know in some places it deals with redemption and so forth. But in relation to the judgment seat of Christ, silver has to do with submission. Here he says, let everyone submit himself with pieces of silver. It represents submission to authority. I want you to go back a few pages from there to Psalms chapter 12 and look at verses 6 and 7. Psalm chapter 12 in verses 6 and 7. Silver is submission, submitting to authority. And what authority is he talking about? Look at Psalms chapter 12 and verses 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are what? Pure words. We talked about that this morning, didn't we? The gold being pure. In fact, the gold was so pure, it was as clear as glass, the Bible says. The words of the Lord are pure words as what? Silver, tried in a furnace of the earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. So when the judgment seat of Christ speaks about building on the foundation of Jesus Christ with gold, he's talking about purity. With silver, he's talking about submission, submitting to authority, submitting to the authority of the Word of God. God's Word is as silver purified, and God wants us to submit to His Word. Now, let me just say this. It costs something to submit and to surrender. The verses we read there in Psalm 68 talk about the silver and the price. There's a price that is involved in it. And when we pay a price to submit, we find that submission is costly. Sometimes it costs us something. I know some people, they have submitted to the will of God for their lives, and it has cost them maybe their job. Some people, it has cost them their family. I know a young man, God called him to the mission field, and he and I were working together in a church when we were in college, and he told the young lady that he was engaged to, that he felt God was calling him to Africa to be a missionary, and she broke the engagement. It cost him his fiance to submit to the authority of the Word of God. To some people, it may cost them even the hope of being married. It may cost us our pride. It may sometimes cost us restitution. It may cost us in the area of popularity. But many times, as we submit to the will of God, it is costly. It will cost us something. Sometimes people say, well, submission, then it's too costly, preacher. It costs too much. I've heard people say that. I want to live for God, or I want to serve God, or I want, but it costs too much. Let me show you a verse of Scripture back in the book of Leviticus. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Look at Leviticus chapter 27 and verse number 8. Leviticus chapter 27 and verse number 8. And notice what it says there. Leviticus 27 verse 8. God says, but if he be poorer than thy estimation, then he shall present himself before the priest, and the priest shall value him according to his ability that vowed, shall the priest value him. You see, the idea there is that God says there's a certain price to be paid. But God has a way of valuing us, and God knows what we can afford to pay. Amen? And that's not necessarily in dollars and cents. Remember, the Lord said that he'll never put on us more than what we're able to bear. He'll, with the temptation, provide a way of escape. God will never ask you to pay a price that is greater than what you are able to pay. He knows your abilities. He knows your value. And by the way, I'm glad God does know our value, aren't you? And he values us very highly. We're very important to him and very valuable to him. But he will not ask us to submit or do something that we cannot do. He asks us, before we submit our possessions, to first of all submit ourselves. We looked at these verses. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We looked at these verses when we were dealing with our stewardship, and you're familiar with them. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verses 4 and 5. 2 Corinthians 8 and verses 4 and 5. He says, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave what? Their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. God wants us to give ourself first. More important than your money, more important than your possessions, God wants you and God wants me. And he wants us to yield ourselves to the authority of the Word of God and to live under that authority and to submit to that authority. Go a little bit farther over in the New Testament to the book of Titus. Look at chapter 2 in Titus and verse number 14. Titus chapter 2, right before the book of Hebrews, and verse number 14. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. It says, who gave himself, talking about Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. God says here, he's redeemed us from our iniquity, and he's purified unto himself a peculiar people. We are valuable to God. He has redeemed us. We belong to him. We're special to him. And God wants us to give ourselves to him. You know where we run into trouble a lot of times? It's that we don't want to give ourselves to the Lord. We want to keep ourselves for ourselves. We want to do what we want. We want to follow our plans and follow our ambitions and our goals for our life. And sometimes God causes things to happen along the way that get our attention focused back on him and not on all of the things of the world. So he says, first they gave themselves, then they gave their money. The Lord said he redeemed us, not with silver and gold, Peter says, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The value that God places on us is seen by the price he paid to redeem us. And that's the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us, and we spent several weeks talking about the stewardship. We bring our tithes. We give our money to the Lord. And the Lord knows what we can pay. He didn't say, you know, everybody has to pay $100 a week. He didn't say everybody should pay $1,000 a week. What did he say? He said, bring the tithe, 10%. God knows what we can do. Many of you, and we don't hear the song sung that often anymore. We used to sing it a lot. It's entitled, O Zion Haste. How many of you know that song? O Zion Haste. Listen to the words of the last verse of the song. It says, give of thy sons to bear the message gloriously. Give of thy wealth to speed them on their way. Pour out thy soul for them in prayer victorious. And all thou spendest, Jesus will repay. God wants us to give ourselves. And then after we give ourselves, then we give our money. We give ourselves, we give our sons, we give our daughters, and then we give our wealth to speed them on their way, to help them to take the gospel, to reach the lost and to win the lost. And we pour out our souls in prayer. And then he says, all thou spendest, Jesus will repay. I'm glad that God knows what we can pay. And as we surrender and submit to him, he rewards us and he repays us. There are many examples I could give to you tonight of people who have built upon silver. I think of a young man that we used to support as one of our missionaries. He's off of the field now, as far as I know. And I don't know if he's gone back, haven't heard, but raised here in our area, had a good job with the railroad, beautiful home, beautiful family, wife, children. God called him to preach. Got saved and actually got saved off of the bus ministry in his church that he attended. And God called him to preach. God called him to the mission field. He sold his home to pay his way through Bible college and went to Mexico as a missionary and didn't even have enough money to buy a home when they first got there. They lived in a school bus for 6 months on the mission field. Now, I don't know about you, but Mexico to me is hot. School bus is hot in the summertime. And that family lived for 6 months. And you see, they were willing to put themselves under, to submit to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they sacrificed. But God blessed them and God will take care of repaying them. I remember some years ago, right after I got out of Bible college, I took a church in the suburbs of Washington, D.C. in Wheaton, Maryland. And my dad had pastored the church there for 10 or 11 years. And when he moved to the Shenandoah Valley, the church called me and asked me to come. I had just graduated. Vicki and I were not even married at the time. I was still single. And so I took the church there. There was a couple in our church. Their last name was Matney. I can't think of their first name right now. But their last name was Matney. And this husband and wife worked for a 7-Eleven store in our area. They got saved. The husband got saved and then the wife got saved. And I think they had maybe 7 kids. And it was kind of strange because they almost all of them got saved in our Wednesday night service. And it's like we'd have prayer meeting and one of their family gets saved. Next week we have prayer meeting, another one of their family gets saved. Next week. And so finally the family got saved. But then they had a problem because they worked in a 7-Eleven store and they had to sell alcohol in the store. And God began to convict them about selling alcohol. And I remember Mr. Matney coming to me and he said, "Preacher, I don't know what to do." He said, "I'm praying about it." He said, "I believe God wants us to quit." And he and his wife both worked in the same store. They were managers. They would work different shifts. And so they struggled with it for a while. And one Sunday morning, Mr. Matney came to me and he said, "God gave me the answer." He said, "Last night I went to work." And he said, "Somebody came in 7-Eleven and robbed us." And he said, "I decided, okay, Lord, I'll quit my job." And he and his wife quit the job. And you know what? That Sunday morning, he told me that on Sunday morning. And that morning, there was another man in our church who owned a steel fabricating company. And that morning, that man hired this man and paid him on the job what he and his wife both were making in the 7-Eleven store. And they were able to quit their job. And now she was able to stay home with the kids. And he was able to provide for his family. You see, that's silver. That's submitting to the authority of the Word of God and being willing to do what God asks us to do. There are many times when God will speak to you about things, and sometimes it will cost you. I don't know, Brother Lou, if you and Sandy knew Norm Zaidman when we were in college at Tennessee Temple. He was a Jewish man. God saved him, called him. As far as I know, he may still, as far as I know, he's a missionary in São Paulo, Brazil. His family, when Norm got saved, his family had a funeral and buried an empty casket. And as far as they were concerned, Norm was dead. He was gone. It cost him something to submit to the authority of the Word of God. And yet God blessed him. That is silver. God says when you the foundation is laid, Jesus Christ, then you build on that gold, that's purity. And then you build on that the silver. That is submission to the authority of the Word of God. I've been a pastor long enough to have had some times when people have said to me, "Preacher, I don't agree with you about something." Now, I know none of you have ever disagreed with me on anything. But you know what? I've had some times when people have said, "Preacher, I don't agree with you, but I believe that you're preaching the Word of God, and I'm willing to submit to your authority." That's silver. When we submit to the authority of the Word of God, and we're willing to do what God wants, we may not understand it. You may not understand all the principles about tithing. You may not understand all the principles about soul winning. You may not understand all of, but you say, "I don't understand it. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I believe that's what God says, and I'm willing to do what God says and submit to the authority of the Word of God." That's what the Lord wants us to do. So gold represents what? Purity. Silver represents submission. There's a third thing that is mentioned, and that is gold, silver, and precious stones. Precious stones. What are precious stones? Go with me to Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Remember, we're talking about our works. We're talking about building on a foundation of Jesus Christ. Malachi chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17. It says, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name." That's kind of interesting, isn't it? God says there's a book. God has a book of remembrance written before him for them that fear the Lord and that thought upon his name. Verse 17, "And they shall be" what? "Mine." God said, "They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my" what? "Jewels." When I make up my precious stones, my jewels, "and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him." Now look over with me, if you will, at the book of Revelation, chapter 21. These precious stones that make up the jewels, I believe, are the precious lost souls that you and I win to Jesus Christ. I believe precious stones represents our soul winning, our witnessing, our winning, our pointing people to the Savior. And there's some interesting thoughts given there in Revelation chapter 21. Look at verses 12 and 13 and 14. And then we'll skip down to a little bit further in the chapter. But Revelation 21, verse number 12. And when had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Now, I want you to catch this. He talks about the names that are written there. Now, I'm not worried right now about who the names are, but just to let you know that names are important to God. Amen. They're specific. Verse number 13, he says, on the east were three gates and the north three gates and south three gates and the west three gates. And verse 14, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the what? The names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So there you have twice he talks about the names that are there. Look down, if you will, at verse number 19. And the foundation of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of what? Precious stones. There's those precious stones again. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, and he goes on and names the different precious stones that are given there. And look at verse number 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the streets of the city were pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are what? Saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Who's written in the Lamb's book of life? Say, all those names. Amen. Is your name written down? Have you helped anybody else get their name written down? See, that's where these names are always important to God. You go through the Bible, how many names do you read? I get to some passages and boy, sometimes I want to skip over some of those Old Testament passages that have so many names in there. And I think, well, you know, the Lord knows those names and I'm going to just kind of set them aside and move on a little bit sometimes. But names are important to God. You read the New Testament. Boy, the Apostle Paul mentions so many different names of people. Many of them were a blessing and a help to him in the ministry. God cares about people and about names. And they're precious to him. And these people, these lost souls, these precious jewels that he talks about, precious lost souls that you and I win to him, are building upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. 25 years ago, soul winning was a great part of most churches in America. Today, there's not much soul winning done in a lot of churches. How much time do we take taking the gospel out? Sometimes it involves going door to door. Sometimes it involves witnessing on the job. Sometimes it involves witnessing and winning and bringing people into church. Paul rebuked them in 1 Corinthians 14 for not having the kind of services where people could come in and get saved. God wants us to do our part to take the gospel to these precious people. And every one of them are precious to him. You ever see somebody sometimes and you just see them and you know there's some problems? We were at a restaurant today and there was a young man in a wheelchair. And he had made some funny noises and things. And to most people, that type of a person is a nuisance. But I want to tell you, that young man in that wheelchair was precious to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's precious. And you're precious to him. And the person that lives next door to you, that sometimes you get mad at them, they're precious to you. Precious to him. I remember some years ago, my father-in-law and mother-in-law lived up on top of the hill there in Gano and up above Cincinnati. And there were some people across the street and they would walk their dog. And on a leash, and this was before they had all those pooper scooper laws and all that kind of stuff. And they would always manage to bring that dog across in front of dad and mom's yard. And the dog would do his business. And you have to know my father-in-law. Some of you know him. I mean, you know, he's got an arsenal in his house. And And, it's a wonder that that man lived through that experience. But you know what? Even that neighbor that aggravates you is precious to the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for them on the cross at Calvary. He loves them. What are we doing to win precious souls to Jesus Christ? I wonder how many times a dear, precious mother, maybe in some other part of the country, maybe it's her son that lives next door to you or that works with you. Perhaps she's at home praying, "Dear God, please send somebody to tell my son or my daughter about Jesus Christ." That person is precious to somebody else. And some of you have lost loved ones. And I've had times when I've prayed for God to send somebody to my relative. And then I've asked the Lord, "Lord, there may be around me somebody's relatives that they're praying for you to send somebody. Let me be that person who'll go to them for you." And you know what? I believe that if we'll be available to the Lord and if we'll go to somebody else's relative, God may send somebody to your relative to tell them about Jesus Christ. Precious souls. They're precious to the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes people don't understand that and they get upset when you try to witness and try to talk to them about the Lord. And sometimes people you try to witness to and they don't want to hear. But I want to tell you something. Their situation can change. We were at the funeral home today with Judy Taylor, and Brother Andy's witnessed her a number of times. I've talked to her about the Lord. And for many years, Judy didn't want to hear anything about it. But she found out she had cancer, and her situation changed, and she was ready and open to hear the gospel. Brother Andy got to lead her to the Lord. You see, that person that you've... You say, "Well, I tried to talk to them. They wouldn't listen to me." They might listen today. The situation may change. Their heart may be different. The door may be open. Take the gospel to them. Look at 1 Thessalonians with me, chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and look at verses 19 and 20. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verses 19 and 20. I like these verses, and you'll relate to them too. But look at what the Apostle Paul says. "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing?" Paul said, one day I'm going to be at that judgment seat of Christ. What's my hope? What's my joy? What's my crown of rejoicing? "Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming?" Paul said, these precious souls that I've had the opportunity to win to Christ and to disciple and train and develop, he said, "These, you are my joy, you are my hope, you are my crown of rejoicing in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at His coming." If Jesus came back tonight, do you have any hope, any joy, any crown of rejoicing? Are there some people that are going to be there because you took the gospel to them? I wonder sometimes. I was thinking about Judy today because we were there at the funeral home. I can think of other people that would fit into the same thing. But you know what? That young lady almost missed her opportunity. I sort of have a feeling that when Andy gets to heaven, somebody's going to come run and hug his neck and say, "Thank you for telling me about Jesus." And I'm not trying to build Andy up or saying, but I'm just saying that person's going to be thrilled. Somebody that you led to Christ, you get to heaven, somebody's going to say, "Thank you for telling me. I would be in hell tonight. I would be lost forever." I remember a couple that was in our church years ago, and they asked me to go see their mother. She was in the hospital dying. I went to see their mother and had the privilege of leading her to Christ. And just a few days later, she went home to be with the Lord. My brother Dan, who pastors in Martinsville, Virginia, Dan's father-in-law was an alcoholic. All his life, an alcoholic. He was on his deathbed. He's in the hospital dying. My brother Dan went to him and shared the gospel with him again and tried to win him to Christ, and he didn't get saved. And he went back, just was so burdened for him. And he was already when he went back, he was already in a coma. And Dan and Debbie prayed and asked the Lord, said, Lord, give us one more opportunity to tell Dad about Jesus. They went to church that night. I think it was a Wednesday night. They went back to the hospital after church, and Debbie's dad was wide awake. And Dan shared the gospel. He prayed with them and trusted Christ as his Savior. And they went home, and that night, during the night, Dan's father-in-law went home to be with the Lord. Do you suppose in heaven, when Dan leaves this world and goes in, you suppose that man will come hug his neck, just run up to him and say, I almost didn't make it. So I don't think people can get saved at their deathbed like that. Well, the thief on the cross did, didn't he? Amen. God could save him. I've talked to people and witnessed to people in the hospital who were dying that couldn't even talk. And I've shared the plan of salvation and told them how to be saved and asked them to pray with me and explain to them. And then I've asked them, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it from your heart, would you squeeze my hand? And all I have to know that they asked the Lord to save them was that they squeezed my hand. Precious souls. There have been others, thank the Lord, that have gotten saved and had years to serve the Lord. Amen. There's a song, we don't sing it often, says, must I go an empty handed? Must I meet my Savior so? Not one soul with which to greet Him. Must I empty handed go? We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The foundation is laid. Foundation is whom? Jesus Christ. We build on that foundation with gold. Gold represents what? Purity. We build on that foundation with silver. Silver represents what? Submission. We build on that foundation with precious stones. What do the precious stones represent? Lost souls that we win to Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question tonight before we close. How's your building going? How are you doing with your building? If you're saved, we've got a good foundation. Amen. And we've got some good material to build with, don't we? Is there any gold? Any purity? Is there any silver? Submission to the authority of the Word of God? Is there any precious souls, precious jewels, precious stones that we're building on? We'll stand before Him and we'll give an account. Father, thank You for Your Word tonight. Would You help us to make sure we have the right foundation, and then help us to build on that with the gold, the purity, and the silver, the submission, and the precious stones of winning people to Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to do our part, to do our best to point people to the Savior, and to build on that foundation that You've laid for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 153 in your hymn books, would you stand together as we sing, All to Jesus I Surrender. As we sing tonight, if the Lord's speaking to you, maybe about the purity, maybe about the submission to the authority of the Word of God, maybe about those precious souls. How's your soul winning? How's your witnessing? How are you doing? Do you have any crown of rejoicing? Perhaps you need to come and talk to the Lord about it. If He's speaking to your heart, you come while we sing. On the first verse, number 153. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender. Take me.
All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.
Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I suggest to you, and I'll ask our ushers to come, if you would, gentlemen, help us with the offering. But I suggest you, in the margin of your Bible there in 1 Corinthians 3, circle that word gold right out beside it, purity. Circle silver right out there, submission. Precious stones, precious souls. Or put them in the back of your Bible somewhere. You know why? Because 3 or 4 years from now, you're not going to remember it. Amen. You'll say, what was that? Preacher preached on that. What was that? Put it down and remember it. And as you read through it, I like to mark in my Bible. And when I'm having my devotions, I read through and I see those notes and things that I've written down. And they remind me and bless me and encourage me over and over again. I want to invite you to join us as we worship the Lord in our giving tonight. Let's bow our heads together and ask the Lord's blessing on the offering. Brother Haney, would you come and lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your word, for the truths that our pastor continues to proclaim through your word. Father, thank you for this day we've set aside to come and worship and, Lord, to grow in your grace and knowledge. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings you've given us in our life. We ask now as we receive this offering, Lord, that you would bless it, use it for your honor and your glory, continue to give us wisdom to honor you in our lives, and Lord, truly to serve and live for you. And we do think about these folks that, Lord, that come on the bus routes. Pray you bless our bus ministry. Thank you for all the work, Lord, and all the opportunity to witness these families, and Lord, see some of them come to know you as their personal Savior. We ask you to continue to bless them and continue to use us. In your gracious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. How many of you know the name of that song? All right. Seek ye first. I don't know if that's the official name of it, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Thank you, Kristen. We appreciate that so much. Let's stand together for a closing word of prayer. Brother Rex Duff, would you come, please, sir, and lead us in our closing prayer tonight? Don't forget to be praying for the Taylor family, and be praying also for the Kennedy family this week for God's comfort. Pray for Brother Paul with his shingles, and God will give him healing as well.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to have heard your word tonight. We just pray that we would apply it to our hearts and realize, Lord, there are many lost souls out there, especially next door to us probably. Cause us to be a good testimony to those around us. Cause us to be concerned because at any moment they might die and go to hell. Cause us just to be an example to them. Bless your word tonight. Cause us all to come back on Wednesday night. In your name I pray. Amen.